CB Wallet Podcast. I'm Phil Lucas.
And I'm Phil Jarrod. Why are we here, Phil?
Well, we're going to talk about the world's greatest disasters. What went wrong, how it went wrong, and whether it was our fault or God's fault.
Fantastic. And remember, Phil, remember, It's not our intention to make light of the sometimes quite substantial mortality rates in some of these disasters.
Even though, with that voice, it sounds like that's what you're doing.
I don't know what you mean. This is my voice. It's always been my voice. We're just interested in finding out what went wrong. And be honest, Phil, I reckon you're interested in this sort of stuff happens on the news.
When you hear the air attack warning.
What are we talking about this week?
The rise and fall of the DeLorean Motor Company.
Yesterday, in a Detroit courtroom, John DeLorean pleaded not guilty to swindling company investors out of $9 million. This is the continuing saga of a man whose name alone conjures up visions of the wealthy and glamorous, as well as images of a sleek stainless steel sports car bearing the DeLorean name. But the most indelible impression the public has of John DeLorean is that of maverick automotive genius, who, desperate to save his failing car company, became involved in what he alleges was a government-engineered cocaine deal. The nation watched as he was found not guilty in the most celebrated drug trafficking trial ever.
No,
did you know, big fan of Back to the Future?
Oh, was that what it was?
What?
Big fan of it. I've seen it once in about 1985.
What? I've seen it a million times. I love Back to the Future.
I've got things to do.
Oh, no, you haven't.
I have. I'm reading Sense and Sensibility at the moment. It's interesting.
Does she go back in time?
No.
All right. Does at any point does she ever say, Great Scott? Great Scott!
No.
At some point, does she look at a watch and go, damn, and look at another watch and go, damn, damn, and then look at another watch and go, damn, damn, damn?
No idea what you're saying.
Well,
there's
not
about
as good as Back to the Future, is it? Has he genuinely never seen... You've seen all three films, I take it?
Two. I've seen two of them.
I really love the Back to the Future films.
I'm sure they're great. It's film, innit? I'd rather do something else.
Oh, no, you're not into films, are you? But did you like the car?
The car thing is great.
If you're listening to this podcast, hello, thank you very much for listening, and you're not into cars, then you are going to know the DeLorean from Back to the Future. It's got to be, I reckon, what do you reckon?
Yeah, the DeLorean Motor Company, which is what we're talking about, made the DeLorean car, which is the car they use in Back to the Future.
I'm saying...
To me, that's not the most important thing about the DeLorean car. But to you, it's all it is, isn't it?
No, it isn't.
It is.
It is a bit. It is a bit. I would have loved a DeLorean
car. To be honest, it's about the best PR that car had ever had.
I mean, it's
even
insane.
Though the company was bust by the time they made the film.
There's a joke in Back to the Future where Marty McFly, he says...
Wait a minute, Doc. Are you telling me that you built a time machine out of a DeLorean?
And it's a joke because the DeLorean was a shit car. But of course, the DeLorean just became famous for Back to the Future. So actually, no one got that joke anymore because it was like, yeah, it's a DeLorean. What do you reckon the top five most famous cars are? All right, I'll start. James Bond's...
Goldfinger Aston Martin.
Yeah.
DB5, I think. Yeah.
Back to the Future car.
Yeah.
Chitty Chitty Bang Bang.
Oh, right, yeah.
That car that Hitler drove in, that Beetle. Hitler's car.
Hitler's Beetle. Oh, so you've gone from showbiz cars to normal cars.
Hitler's Beetle.
That's a good band name.
That's right.
Almost as good as Dirty Butter, which I came up with last night.
I would love to have a Dirty Butter t-shirt. I can't think of any other famous cars. What's another famous car?
Genevieve.
What's that?
That's an old film with Kenneth Moore.
I think that's lost in the mists of time.
We've got James Bond's Lotus is quite famous.
Oh,
comes
the
out
underwater
the sea.
Lotus.
Yeah, that's a good one.
He had some good cars, didn't he, Bond?
Yeah, he did, I saw a Lotus Esprit the other day. They still look amazing.
Really?
I love them, yeah. Yeah, that was my dream car as a kid.
Yeah, me too, actually, because I had the Matchbox car.
Oh, yeah.
I had the little Matchbox Lotus. Lotus Esprit, did you say?
Yeah, Lotus Esprit, yeah.
But mine was the James Bond one, so it had the fins.
Yeah, the fin. I had the same thing, yeah. Nowadays, of course, it's just anything under 5 years old that's largely reliable.
Oh, me too.
And cheap to tax.
I love a car that does, basically, I don't have to service every 30 seconds. That's what they should have made the Back to the Future car, just a really reliable Volkswagen.
You say that, our Volkswagen, a very good car it is, to be fair, has got a fault on it that's going to cost £1,900 to repair.
That's it, fuck then, isn't it?
I think so.
What's the fault?
The gearbox.
Oh, yeah, I've heard that's important.
Because
that's where they keep the gears, isn't it? What do you need? What do you need? A new one?
Yeah, essentially, yeah. But it's not just a gearbox. It's a gearbox. It's a, our car is both manual and automatic.
Oh, bollocks.
So it's quite a complex one. Because we're a complex couple.
You are. You're a very complex man, I think.
I don't know.
You're all one of those complex people I know.
I don't know.
And by complex,
know.
I mean a nightmare.
What is nightmarish about me apart from my fear of butter?
Well, that's what. What was the name of the band?
Hot, Dirty Butter.
Dirty Butter. That's where it's come from, isn't it? Is your fear of butter?
Yeah, it was a conversation I had with Julie last night. You've left the butter too near the weighing scales. Means I can't get to the weighing scales. Can you come and move the butter? Won't touch butter. Will not touch a block of butter.
I love your fear of butter. It's the strangest thing.
Horrible stuff.
Have you got any dietary requirements? Oh, God, have you got a chair? So you have to sit down for a minute. The man's scared of milk. So, Phil, DeLorean Motor Company. I'm looking forward to this one.
Right.
What was it?
It was a motor company started by a chap called John DeLorean. And this motor company ultimately went bankrupt.
When did it happen?
Between 1975 and 1982.
How many people died?
Hard to say, but as drug trafficking was alleged to have been involved, there are possibilities of death.
Okay, yeah, because, you know...
From drugs.
I've heard that trafficking drugs can be a little bit dangerous.
Dodgy. They don't take well to it in places like Thailand.
They don't, do they?
Or Dubai.
And drug dealers, if they see somebody else drug dealing where they drug deal, drug dealers don't usually go up and say, I'm terribly sorry, it's obviously in the middle of misunderstanding. This is where I usually drug deal. Oh, I'm terribly sorry.
Now they pump a cap in your ass.
I will leave immediately and find a place where there is nobody who's drug dealing, and then I will deal my drugs there. Good day to you, sir. That's not what happens, is it? I've seen Breaking Bad, and that exchange is not in it. So, the DeLorean Motor Company, Phil, what background me?
Okay, John DeLorean founded the DeLorean Motor Company in Detroit, Michigan. Of course it was Detroit, Michigan.
The world's first post-industrial city. And only still, I think, isn't it?
God, isn't it just about regenerating?
Is it getting better?
I think it's getting better slowly. But anyway, this is where he founded it, on October the 24th, 1975. He was already very well known in the automobile industry as an engineer, business innovator, and he was the youngest person to become a General Motors chief executive.
Okay.
So...
Shades of Ratner.
Another good name for a band.
Also another great band. I think Shades of Ratner probably would support Dirty Butter. That would be their apex. Like 20 years later, we're like, well, we supported Dirty Butter.
Yeah, whilst they're in their office jobs.
Yeah,
it might come out at an office Christmas party. You know Ralph over there?
Yeah, you say, I used to be in a band. Did you, mate? What was it called? Doesn't matter what it used to be called. Sorry, yes, carry on.
Yeah, so obviously, DeLorean, very successful in the motor industry in the 60s and 70s, decided, you know what, I can do this myself.
Yeah.
So investment from the DeLorean Motor Company primarily came in the form of business loans from the Bank of America.
Right.
And the formation of partnerships and private investment from select parties.
Like most people do. They knit round their friends, they knit round banks, and they try and whip up a bit of money. Right?
And what friends John DeLorean had.
Oh.
These included... The Tonight Show host, Johnny Carson.
Wow.
$500,000.
$500,000?
Yeah.
Carson put into it, okay.
Sammy Davis Jr. $150,000.
Really?
Yeah. It's already good, isn't it? If you've got Sammy Davis Jr. investing in your company.
I want to build a car. It's called the frickin' Rat Pack. That's amazing.
Yeah.
Sammy, I'm starting a car business. Who loves your baby? I'll be around.
I don't even know what I can't remember. Can you do an impression of Sammy Davis Jr.?
I can't, but I have seen a recreation of his living room in a museum in Germany.
Interesting. Yeah. What does it look like?
It's just a large building, various objects that you can look at. Those objects have information boards attached to them.
Okie dokie. Okay.
Incidentally, Johnny Carson had a very bad experience with DeLorean because not only did he lose all of his investment, but the first time he took one for a test drive around the block, it broke down. It was also the car he was behind the wheel of when he was arrested for driving under the influence in 1982. And he eventually sold this and he auctioned off his DeLorean in 1985. But he did get $18,000 for it, or $18,000.
So, and what did he put in?
$500,000. So clawed a little bit back.
It's cursed, isn't it, a DeLorean?
Yeah. Do you want to know some facts about John DeLorean?
Nothing would give me greater joy at this point.
He dated Ursula Andress in the 70s.
Cool.
Yep.
Ursula Andress.
Dr. No, lady comes out the sea.
Oh,
Dr. No.
Did she come out the sea?
Underneath the mango tree, me honey and me sing boolaloo soup.
Is that in the film?
Yes, underneath the mango tree.
When does that happen?
That's what she sings as she's coming out of the water.
Really?
Yeah.
That's terrible, I haven't seen
mango,
that at all.
Mango, banana and tan. It might be a different song, but yeah. That's the one I know.
Okie doke.
He was married 4 times.
Okay.
An ex-girlfriend claimed that one of her Christmas gifts from John DeLorean was a leather-bound portfolio featuring photographs of himself.
Excellent.
Leather-bound. That's it.
That's a bit classy, isn't it? Yeah.
And now, I don't know if this is true, but this is what it says. When DeLorean died in 2005, he was put in his casket wearing a black motorcycle jacket, blue jeans and a denim shirt. A pair of shades were tucked into his shirt pocket. He was then cremated. Now, I put here a pair of shades was tucked into his shirt pocket because that sounds like where you tuck a pair of shades.
Yeah.
But the information on the website I got this from said that a pair of shades was tucked into his zipper. Does that mean it was tucked into his flies?
Yeah.
I thought it can't mean his flies. It must mean shirt pocket.
Into his zipper. Oh, hold on. No, sometimes if you have one of those 80s type motorcycle jackets, they've got a zip down the front.
So it would have been tucked
Maybe they tucked it into the zip.
I'm glad I didn't say flies then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They popped it in his trousers. Yes, and then they set him on fire.
I don't know how true that is, because whenever I've seen pictures of John DeLorean or I've seen him interviewed, never wore anything remotely like that.
Oh, what did he wear?
He was always in suits and shirt and tie and stuff, so I don't know.
It's an odd time to have a midlife crisis, isn't it? Being dead.
So that's my information about John DeLorean. Now, from those facts, you can gather he is the sort of man that is going to be looking for wily deals.
Wheeling, dealing.
Where? Now, this is exactly what he was doing, because he thought, if I'm going to set up these factories, I'm going to produce my own car, there's got to be ways of getting other people to chip in and pay for this. And that's exactly what he did. He was looking for lucrative incentives from governments and economic organisations to pay for constructing, you know, the automobile's manufacturing facilities. So he initially thought, well, you know what, I'm going to build this factory in a country where the unemployment was really high.
Good thing to do.
Enterprise zone, that's how Nissan have ended up in Newcastle or Sunderland or wherever it is they are.
Nothing wrong with that.
One candidate initially was Ireland, although that was actually blocked, decided not to support it. And he was going to go to Puerto Rico.
Okay.
And it was just about to be agreed that he was going to set his factory up in Puerto Rico when Northern Ireland came in at the last minute, and he decided to set up the factory in Northern Ireland instead.
Cool.
We went to Belfast because no one else would have us in the world. Everybody said it's inconceivable that in today's day that any new automobile company could survive. We went through a whole series of alternatives, and ultimately none of them worked until we went up there. And the reason they gave us financial support was that they put us in a battlefield between major Catholic and Protestant developments. And remarkably, and this is the one real tragedy of that whole thing, is we built a successful company. In 1981, the only year we were in business, we made, I think, like $27 million in the last half of the year. The only profitable motor company in Great Britain.
Quite a good time to set up a factory in the 1970s Northern Ireland.
Well, you can see why the British government were chewing his arm off, because you know, you've got all the troubles over there. No, highest unemployment rate in Europe, Northern Ireland at the time. So if this company, they're going to go, we'll pay. And that's exactly what they did. The British government paid $120 million of the £200 million startup costs.
So basically, the British government did most of it. Sammy Davis Jr. picked up the slack.
Yeah.
In a perfectly normal sentence.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, the government was keen to create jobs in Northern Ireland. Sectarian violence was reducing unemployment. So, yeah, they jumped on it. So in October 1978, construction of the six-building, 660,000-square-foot manufacturing plant began in Northern Ireland. Officially known as the DeLorean Motor Cars Limited, the facility was located in Dunmurry, a suburb of Belfast. This was situated on an interface between two communities with different political outlooks, Republican Twinbrook and Unionist Dunmurry.
Oh, so it was right in the centre of like a Protestant-Catholic divide?
Yeah, right in the centre. I don't know how that worked with Labour relations.
Yeah.
I'd be quite intrigued to know. But obviously the government was, oh, yes, well, this will bring people together and this is a good thing.
Yeah, it seems pretty good, right?
Yeah. Good-toothed American, flashy American comes
arms
along.
Arms across the...
Is Ursula Andress, so I can make cars.
Yes, that sounds like quite good to me. Unit production, and I guess that means cars being built.
Yes.
Unit production was scheduled to begin in 1979... This is winter of discontent, isn't it?
Yeah,
this is
all right in the centre of that.
This is all bodies going unburied and
bin bags on the street.
Bin bags on the streets.
Yeah.
Engineering delays and budget overruns caused the assembly lines to start only in early 1981.
Vienna Ultravox.
Was that 1981?
Number 2.
How do you know that?
I was a big fan of Ultravox. Kept off the number one position by Shut Up Your Face by Joe Dolce.
God almighty.
Yeah.
Workers at the factory were generally inexperienced. Yeah. Many never had jobs before joining the factory.
That sounds a recipe for success. Highly technical component manufacturing.
Right. Yeah, that's right. You got any experience in this kind of work? What? Okay, got no experience in car manufacturing.
Yeah.
No, I've got no experience.
Stuff a rag in a bottle.
You can't say that.
There's a lot of that going on, wasn't there?
Stuff a rag in a bottle. This may have contributed to the reported quality issues attributed to the early production vehicles and the subsequent establishment of quality assurance centres located at various delivery locations. The DeLorean car was famous for being shoddily built.
Yes, yes.
Okay. Quality assurance centres were set up in California, New Jersey and Michigan, where some of the quality issues were to be addressed and resolved before delivery to dealerships. There's always startup problems, right?
There are startup problems, but if initially you're setting up quality control centres that are going to cost you money, and you're essentially trying to rectify cars coming out of the factory...
Yeah.
I don't think Volkswagens come out the factory and then have to go to a separate quality assurance centre the other side of the world to make sure they're all right.
They? Yeah. Obviously, we'll build the car. Then you've got a couple of days of snagging where people ring up and go, yeah, the roof's come off.
I've been to the Volkswagen factory in Germany and it is outstandingly, wonderfully, mind-blowingly technically advanced.
And it's all clean.
It's phenomenal.
Clean.
Oh, you can eat your dinner off the floor. You could. They've got an amazing thing in there because it's all robots building it. They've got a robot nursery. And when they get a new robot, they put it in the robot nursery and give it loads of tests to make sure it's working properly. It's really cool. Right by some of the original Nazi logos from the original building. Still there.
I used to have a book called Strange Deaths, I think it was called.
Okay.
And there was one which happened in a car factory where a robot mistook a person's head for a nut that needed tightening up.
Okay.
The combined efforts of quality assurance improvements at the factory and the post-production quality assurances done were generally successful, made the cars a bit better. By 1982, improvements in components and the more experienced workforce...
Well, I've had a year from doing not understanding what they were doing.
Yeah, so it's a steep learning curve.
Yeah.
They're making the cars better. That meant that production quality was vastly improved. Disputes between dealerships and customers arose later, though, because many dealerships refused to do warranty work because they were not being reimbursed. So basically... It's all a bit startup messy.
Yeah.
It's a bit messy. Like, your workforce is new. They're a bit crap. You're in a war zone. You know?
You're just coming at the end of one of the worst economic turmoils.
Yeah.
Post-war.
Post-war. Lot of changes. You know, he's in a foreign country that he doesn't know anything about. This doesn't seem like it's too much. So tell me about the car, because the car is the thing.
Yeah, the car is the thing, but the car itself...
Bit shit.
The DMC-12 is the car. It was the only model ever produced by the company, and it features the famous gullwing doors.
Yep.
And innovative, I can't say it,
innovative
fiberglass body structure with a steel backbone chassis. Yep. I have no idea what that means, but that's what it says.
Okay.
Along with external brushed stainless steel body panels. We all remember
lovely.
They were stainless steel.
Yeah.
And of course, as you've already mentioned, it became widely known and iconic for its appearance in the Back to the Future media franchise.
Yeah.
Films. Or
yes.
Movies, if you're movies. British, but now use Americanisms.
Do you know what the time machine was before it was the DeLorean?
No.
A fridge.
Oh, okay. So when did the DeLorean come in then?
When they decided that having your main time travel thing being a fridge...
A bit rubbish.
Was a bit rubbish.
It wouldn't have been the same film, would it?
It wouldn't have, no.
Oh, John DeLorean, even though the company had long gone bust by the time this film came out, yeah. He was chuffed to bits and he wrote to one of the movie producers thanking them for immortalising his car in film.
Well, and it is immortalised.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
absolutely immortalised.
Yeah, if people know nothing about DeLorean, they know that DeLorean is a car in Back to the Future.
It's been that car has been immortalised in a way that Eric Stoltz very much hasn't. Do you know what happened to Eric Stoltz?
I don't even know who he is.
He's a very serious method actory type actor, Eric Stoltz. At least he was in those days. And he was cast to be Marty McFly.
Oh, okay.
And they filmed the whole film. Pretty much the entire film with Eric Stoltz.
Oh!
And Eric Stoltz just had no comedy timing, no... He didn't understand that the film was meant to be essentially a light comedy. And he played it dark and broody. And you know it's a film that's essentially about a man desperately trying not to fuck his own mother.
Okay, no, I didn't.
Eric Stoltz played it much less funny. Oh. And so they got through, they filmed most of the film, and at the end, fired him. And said, you can't do it. And then got Michael J. Fox in, who then had to refilm the whole of the film.
Oh.
And so there's lots of shots in Back to the Future where Doc Brown isn't talking to Michael J. Fox. He's talking to Eric Stoltz, and they've used those shots.
Oh.
And you can see it's the back of Eric Stoltz's head. Or there's a famous bit where Eric Stoltz punches Biff. It's Eric Stoltz's hand, but the other shot is... Anyway, so yes, that's Back to the Future. I know that films don't excite you in the way that they excite me.
No, I mean, I've only seen it once, but I remember enjoying it. I mean, yeah. I was 15, but...
You were 15, your prime age to really enjoy that
film. Yeah, and I did.
Yeah.
But then I moved on with my life.
I stayed very much there.
Then I moved on with my life and got interested in the 1940s.
Yeah, that's right. You moved on by going backwards.
Yeah.
Quite substantially.
Very much back to the past.
Back to the past. Yes.
That would be my autobiography. Yes, so apart from Back to the Future, over the course of the car's production, several features of this car were changed, the hood style, the wheels, the interior.
Yeah.
In total, about 9,000 of these cars were made before production halted in very early 1983. Now, the reason the car was named the DMC-12 was because of its intended price point of $12,000. But upon release in 1981, because we've had all sorts of delays and whatnot, it actually retailed at $25,000. Even that wasn't massively a problem because at the outset there was a massive waiting list of people willing to buy this. This guy, DeLorean, had pedigree, it was a cool looking car, and some people were so desperate to get their hands on it they were prepared to pay up to $10,000 over the asking price.
And it did look different to every other car.
Yeah, it looked completely different.
And it still looks different to any car.
It's
that's
a
ever
really
been made.
Cool looking car. Even though it was only available with two factory options, like manual or automatic.
Yeah.
Choice of grey or black interior. Everything externally was the same. They're all silver brushed steel.
Yep.
So you got one, they all look pretty much the same. You couldn't go, I'll have my colour, I'll have this wheel trim. They're pretty much the same. Standard feature list. Stainless steel body panels.
Lovely.
Gull wing doors. We all have a gull wing door. Look great, very impractical.
Absolutely.
With cryogenically treated torsion bars.
Oh, lovely.
Don't know what they are.
Sound delicious.
Leather seats. Love a leather seat. Air conditioning.
Excellent.
Quite advanced for those days. An AM FM cassette stereo system.
Very modern.
Nice. Power windows.
Up and down.
Locks and mirrors.
Excellent.
Hang on, locks and mirrors. That shouldn't be a feature. That's just...
What, do you want it locked, mate? Do you want to look behind you? $10,000.
A tilt and telescopic steering wheel.
Oh, okay. So it can come forwards and up and down?
Something like that.
If you're fat in that?
Yep. Tinted glass. Ooh, very 80s.
Lovely. Good for a drug dealer.
Yeah. Body side mouldings. Intermittent, constant windshield wipers.
Two-speed windscreen wipers. Yeah. What are you talking about there?
And an electric rear window defogger.
Oh, lovely.
Oh, they had a different concept of luxury in those days,
didn't they?
That's a Kia.
Do you want to, yeah, that's a Kia, isn't it? the Kia Picante.
But apart from that,
they're trying to tell me you built a time machine out of a Kia Picante?
I was going to get this the whole time, aren't I?
Why are you not why? Why does it upset you so much?
Do you know the last film I watched?
What?
A George Formby film.
Did he go
Bell Bottom George.
Did he go back in time to make his parents have sex?
No, he got the girl, though.
Did he?
He does in every film.
Yeah.
Sung a few songs on his ukulele.
Oh, but top of a ladder, was it?
Yeah.
Was on a ladder.
I enjoyed myself immensely watching that. There were, however, three gold-plated versions of the DeLorean built. And that just sums up where this guy had his visions.
Yeah.
It's like, now, only three versions, three gold-plated cars built, but initially he wanted to do a production run of gold-plated cars.
Wow.
Ostentatious, but
yeah.
I like, kind of like it.
But I guess if some of your money's coming from Sammy Davis Jr., it's not a big leap, is it, to have
yes,
a gold-plated one?
It's not going to be British Racing Green with Sammy Davis Jr., is it?
No, that's right.
It's giving the old razzle-dazzle.
Sammy Davis Jr. is never going to go, can we turn it down a bit?
I never quite understood what Sammy Davis Jr. did.
What Sammy Davis Jr. did is he stood next to Dean Martin and Frank Sinatra and smiled while they were openly racist. That's what happened. That's what happened to Sammy Davis Jr.
I know he did a bit of singing. He did a bit of dancing.
He was a triple threat, isn't it?
Well, yeah, but what did he do?
He did dancing, mate. He did singing. He done the jokes.
But where?
Vegas. And on films and that.
Was he in films?
Yeah, loads of films.
Was he?
Cannibal Run and Cannibal Run 2.
Yeah, but he was already well established by the time they were out.
To be honest, pretty much quite on the turn by the time that they don't look well in Cannibal Run.
How did he get to that? I don't know.
He was one of the Rat Pack, wasn't he?
He's not like John Barrowman. Oh, is he? Actually, is he like John Barron? Bit of everything.
He's a bit of everything, but you know the Rat Pack, right?
Yeah.
So he's just one of the Rat Pack. You know, they're in each other's movies and they're in musicals and they drank whiskey and smoked cigars and sang about women they'd like
to
rape.
I've never really looked into so. Apart from seeing a recreation of his living room in a museum in Germany, that's not far from Hitler's limousine and the world's biggest barrel organ.
Hitler's limousine, we should have said earlier. That's very famous.
Yeah, I've seen that.
The Pope Mobile, of course.
The famous one, the 81.
Yeah, the 81 Pope Mobile.
The old Range Rover, wasn't it? Converted Range Rover.
I think so, yes. With a little sort of revolving Pope turnstaple. Sammy Davis Jr., I think, had quite an incredible life.
Did he?
I can't remember any part of it, so should we move on?
The car. Upon release, reception by the car buying public and the automotive magazines was mixed.
Oh.
And the price, which had shot up to $25,000, was prohibitive for the majority of the market.
I mean, yes, pretty expensive now.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. Especially for what many considered to be an underpowered and impractical plaything. Road and Track magazine. We all subscribe to that.
I've got so many Road and Track magazines at home.
It said, it's not a barn burner. With a 0-60 time of 10.5 seconds, frankly, that's not quick for a sports car in this price category. Almost it sounds like Alan Partridge has reviewed that.
0-60 miles per hour in 10.5 seconds, that's not going to get you away from some Libyans.
I'm laughing. I don't really know what you're talking about. Other problems, and I don't think there's any way you can get Back to the Future in these. The floor mats would rub off onto the driver's shoes.
Really? <Yeah.
laughs> The iconic gullwing doors had a habit of becoming stuck.
Yeah,
the unpainted stainless steel body looked really cool, but it was nearly impossible to keep clean and showed fingerprints.
Oh, shit.
In other words, Phil, the car wasn't fun to drive, wasn't pleasant to ride in, and was almost always dirty.
Yeah, and covered in ice.
Oh, God! Every DeLorean looked virtually identical, which I said what I mentioned before, which of course some people don't like. People like to go, I want this colour, this wheel trim. In the end, some dealerships actually started to offer painted versions or tried to jazz it up a bit to make it more distinct. Yeah. The company themselves offered a different interior as an alternative. Well, essentially, your car comes in black, we'll give it to you grey if you want.
Yep.
That sums it up. But by the time they did that, it was probably too late. The die had been cast. And talking of the die being cast, downturn and bankruptcy.
So did people stop buying these because they were shit then?
I guess. Don't think it helped, yeah.
The lack of demand for these cars, cost overruns, bad reviews of the cars and unfavourable exchange rates began to take their toll on the DMC's cash flow in late 1981.
So not long after they'd started producing, really.
They built a load of cars that were shit no one bought. The company had estimated its break-even point to be between 10,000 and 12,000 units.
Cars.
Or cars, yeah, in this instance. But sales were only around 6,000.
Half.
A lot of buyer remorse there, isn't there? Mm. I mean, it'd be awful if like, the gullwing door is a bit ostentatious if everybody thinks it's a shit car, don't they?
Yeah.
And like, oh, look at that twat with his gullwing door.
Yeah, it'd be all right if it sort of shot to 60 miles an hour in 3 seconds or something and was a sort of silver sexy snake bastard car.
If you're footing it down the road, yeah, then have to open the door like you're coming on stage at 5 at the Apollo. And also, like, you can't park next to anything.
No, that's the gullwing doors are rubbish. They look amazing, but there's a reason why not every car is a gullwing door.
Well, the gullwing door now goes up sideways, doesn't
it? Yeah, now that is clever.
Yeah.
Yeah. But in the old days, you'd knock out a few pensioners as you parked and opened it.
Do you remember bubble cars? You couldn't drive. Some people drove up to their garage doors.
Yeah.
And they had no reverse gear. And so but the front opened out the front, didn't it?
Yeah.
So they're just stuck in there until they starve to death. In response to the income shortfall, a restructuring plan was devised where a new DeLorean Motor Holding Company would be formed, which in turn would have become corporate parents to DMC and each of its subsidiaries, DeLorean Motor Cars Limited, DeLorean Motor Cars of America, the distributor in the US, and DeLorean Research Partnership, a research and development company. Why'd they do that then?
That is really grown up, complicated, money moving around, fudging stuff.
So they were losing money, and so because they were losing money, they set up a load of companies to try and hide the fact. Oh,
I'm no businessman, Phil.
Hide is probably slanderous, but maybe just to deal with it, I guess.
Yeah,
we'd say,
in a grown up,
yeah,
slightly dodgy way, maybe.
Yes, I suppose. Open a new bank account, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, you and I are the worst people to talk about
cars.
Really, I mean,
business.
You and I can probably just about work out something's made in a factory and gets taken in a lorry to a shop. But beyond that, we're not really into business, are we?
No, we're not economists. In January 1982, due to the United States Securities and Exchange Commission questions about the company's viability, the company was forced to cancel the stock issued for the holding company that DeLorean had hoped would raise about $27 million.
Again, grown up stuff I don't really understand.
They're in trouble. They're in trouble, and they've just been kicked in the balls by the American government.
Yeah,
I guess. Okay. So, because the American government kicked them in the balls, John DeLorean lobbied the British government, who desperately want factories and places for people to work.
They'd already put in $120 million.
That he asked them for aid, but he was refused unless he was able to find a matching amount from other investors. So going back to Sammy Davis Jr.
He said, no! I've seen the figures!
What followed is a matter of debate between the British government, the US Federal Bureau of Investigation, or the FBI, the Drug Enforcement Administration, the DEA, DeLorean, his investors, and the US court system.
Shit got real.
Shit got real, didn't it, Philip Lucas? At some point in 1982, John DeLorean became the target of an FBI sting operation designed to arrest drug traffickers. Ooh. This is interesting. He was arrested in October 1982 and charged with conspiring to smuggle $24 million worth of cocaine into the US.
Quite a lot.
God bless the 80s.
Really, what happened is that when the government, the conservative government, elected not to live up to their contract, I knew I was in financial trouble, and I talked to everybody anywhere in, you know, any era that came along, anybody who had the potential to try to save our company. Well, then I got a call from a man in California who turned out later to be a government informant who'd been given $360,000 tax-free for what he did. He said he had investors. He gave me a bank reference, one of the largest banks in California. About 2 months later, he mentioned the subject of narcotics. I tried to escape. When I got out of the room, I called my attorneys in New York, and I said, I think I've stumbled into a nest of organized crime. And I described the fact that suddenly what had started as a legitimate transaction was turning into an illegal one. And
the key element of evidence for the prosecution was a videotape showing John DeLorean discussing the drugs with undercover FBI agents.
No.
I'd say that was a fair cop.
It sounds it, doesn't it?
On the incriminating video, John DeLorean is seen talking to the FBI agents using the phrase, I think this can be interpreted in a couple of ways, Coke is better than gold.
Now, that tape you have to talk about, that was totally orchestrated because the prosecutor had decided I had not committed any illegal act and he had no chance unless they could somehow get me on tape with some cocaine. So they demanded that I come to California on the threat of my children's lives. And when I got, and I thought I was dead. Mm-hmm. That's why I wrote a letter to my attorneys before I left. And I said, look, in the event of my death, this should be open. And this tells all the people and what they've done.
John DeLorean's attorney successfully demonstrated to the court that he was coerced into participation in the deal by the agents who initially approached him as legitimate investors. He was acquitted of all charges, also, God bless the 80s, but his reputation was forever tarnished. After his
Much like his cars.
Yep, that's right.
The fingerprints.
Fingerprints and rust. But his reputation was forever tarnished. After his trial and subsequent acquittal, DeLorean quipped, would you buy a used car from me?
Good. Comeback.
It's a good comeback, like, isn't it? Again, very Ratner. In the end, sufficient funds could not be raised to keep the company alive, and the DNC went bust in 1982, taking with it 2,500 jobs in a place where they badly needed jobs, and over $100 million in investments. Sad, really. The British government attempted to revive some usable remnants of the manufacturing facility without success. I wonder why. Surely they could have.
We'll have this vice.
Got to be some shit in there, can't they? Got to be some hammers or something they can use. All them hammers you can have, mate. Ah, I can't
give them to Nissan.
I can't think of a use for them hammers. DeLorean himself retired to New Jersey. And the dream with which he had mesmerised Britain's Labour government of industry rising out of the ashes of Northern Ireland's sectarian conflict was shattered.
Shattered.
He claimed that the DMCL,
DeLorean Motor Company Limited,
was deliberately closed for political reasons. I wonder if there's any truth in that. Probably not.
Well, I doubt they would have closed it if it was doing really well.
Yeah, good point. Yeah, they don't do that. They just barrel in, do they? And then barrel into Tesco's and go, all this has got to come down, yeah. Mate. All this is coming down. The reason he thought it was closed for political reasons was that at the time of its closing, it was a solidly viable company with millions of dollars in the bank and 2 years of dealer orders on the books.
Why did it go bust then? Nobody was buying them.
Yeah, that sounds like bullshit. Mm. Right? Approximately 9,000 cars were made between January 1981 and December 1982, although actual production figures are unclear and estimates differ.
Well, that doesn't tell you. I mean, Ford could tell you exactly to the minute when each of its cars was made, wouldn't they?
They're not like M&Ms, are they? You don't just like piss out a car. That's not really the end of it, though. Because the collapse of the company left a lot of trouble in its wake. There were claims of fraud, embezzlement, tax evasion and defaulted loans. Sammy Davis Jr. was livid. Yeah. Three bodies.
I would not want to be on the wrong side of Sammy Davis Jr.
I wouldn't, actually.
He's a little man, but he's got power.
They were a bit tasty, weren't they, the Rat Pack? And I think Frank Sinatra... Well, Frank Sinatra is who that character's based on in The Godfather,
yes,
isn't he?
Has yes. I don't know how heavy Johnny Carson can be when he needs to be. But
three bodies who claimed to have lost by DeLorean were the governments of Britain. We're always a loser, aren't we?
Oh, yeah.
The US and Switzerland.
That's quite bad creditors to have.
I mean, Switzerland? Yeah. Jesus Christ. Mm. Switzerland have got shit in vaults nobody wants to talk about, have they?
Yeah.
They've got the Ark of the Covenant. Switzerland failed to extradite him, apparently. The following years saw a whole host of legal disputes and court cases. I don't think we should go into them here because neither of us know what the frick we're talking about, I should imagine. It's all very time-consuming and complicated, but there were a lot of them.
There were a lot. I think the British government tried to sue him for embezzlement. He had so many court... I think he spent the rest of his life just doing court cases.
Really? That was just what his job was, just to try and extricate himself from this
from
DeLorean.
From all the crap he'd got himself into.
From this car. DeLorean himself, however, looked after the pennies, don't they always? A court heard that he'd changed a lunch receipt from a Beverly Hills hotel from $17 to $191.50.
Good lad.
That's pretty good.
We all would if we could.
Absolutely. Another court recorded testimony that DeLorean practised forging signatures.
Yeah, anyone want to buy a Winston Churchill autograph?
Yeah, that's right. There was a lot of evidence to suggest that John DeLorean was a bit dodge. Mm, yeah.
Flashy American.
Flashy,
going
dodgy
going out with
guy.
Starlets. Yeah. Dodgy. Yeah, but I kind of like him.
I like him as well. I am warming to him.
Yeah.
It's not too bad, is it? He's just a bit dodgy, isn't he? You want to buy some Coke, mate? Nothing wrong with that. We'll buy some Coke. I once built a car.
Yeah, but he's not taking the money off poor people, is he?
Well, there's quite a lot of poor people who didn't have a job in Northern Ireland.
Yeah, but for a year.
For a year.
For a year he gave him a job.
Yeah, that's
true. I mean, all right, Sammy Davis Jr. could afford it.
Yeah, that's true.
Johnny Carson probably had a bit stashed in the bank.
Yeah. No real losers, apart from Irish people, I guess. Tell me about today. Where are we at today with DeLorean Motor Company?
Well, car-wise, a large number of them are still on the road after well over 30 years.
You'd look after them, wouldn't you? I'd look after them.
Yeah.
Really, you'd have to, otherwise they'd literally crumble into dust.
I mean, how many times have I seen that car from Back to the Future?
Have you really seen a real one?
Well, there's about 500 real ones. I'm sure the real one is somewhere, but I've seen plenty of DeLoreans that they've made up.
Oh,
to
you
look
mean
like.
mocked up?
Oh, yeah.
I don't think I've ever seen. I saw one in Universal Studios. I don't know if it was a real one.
Oh, okay.
I don't think I've ever seen. I've never seen one on the road.
I saw one at Thurl Vintage Fair.
Did you?
The other month.
Oh, I'd love to see one.
Yeah. So we weren't allowed to touch it though.
Were you not? Too cold.
Most estimates put it that about 6,500 of the 9,000 cars built survive, which isn't bad at all.
Lovely.
There's an active community around the cars with really strong owners clubs, and a number of businesses have set up after the demise of DMC to provide parts and services. And most of these are still in existence. There's a place in Texas which has bought the rights to the name, and they've bought up all the remaining spare parts.
Really?
Yeah, and they will service, and if you want, they can actually build you brand new DeLoreans from what they've got. And apparently they're planning on going into actual production.
I said, so there's got to be a market for making them well.
Mm.
Because it's the shape.
It's iconic now, isn't it?
Yeah, but no one cares about the engine. You know what I mean?
The engine was a Renault engine, I think.
No, it was Mr. Fusion, wasn't it? You put it was. Yeah, but no one cares about the workings, do they?
No, they just
care about
to look cool.
They care about the shell of it. So there must be a market to be made in making those cars. But I suppose the more you make, the less desirable they are.
Tell me about old JD himself.
John DeLorean still had to battle many legal cases stemming from the company's bankruptcy well into the 1990s. In 1994, John DeLorean filed a patent for a raised monorail. Oh my God, really?
We've all done.
In 1994, DeLorean filed a patent for a raised monorail transport. The transport monorail! He fucking built a monorail! That is A1 plus fraudulent activity.
Love
isn't it.
Nothing good has ever come out of anyone building a monorail.
Never has.
Monorail is the worst idea.
No one has ever gone, this place used to be a ghost town before the monorail came through.
There's nothing better for dated futurism than monorails.
After this, he planned to resurrect his car company and gave interviews describing a new vehicle called the DMC2.
Does that mean it would cost $2,000?
In an effort to gather funds, he designed and sold high-end watches.
Brilliant. He has become rat of the circle.
He's
complete.
He's totally ratted himself via the internet.
Oh, my God.
Okay, sell watches on the internet under the name DeLorean Time. Oh, that's nice. Made of what appeared in promotions to be injected moulded stainless steel. The watches sold for $3,500.
Wow.
That's mad. None of the watches seem to have ever been built or delivered to the customers.
I'd love to see. I'll have to look, see if you can see a design of one.
I mean, if that watch looks like the car, you know, if it has that sort of same, because the DMC logo is great.
Oh, yeah, it's really great, good, isn't
logo. It? I would buy one of those watches. I wouldn't buy it for $3,500.
No, 50 quid.
50 quid. Well, 50 quid. I mean, 15 off a fare.
Yep.
After his go at A, cars, B, a monorail, and C, nice watches, John DeLorean declared bankruptcy in September 1999. He was evicted from his 434-acre New Jersey estate in March 2000.
Oh, so he survived quite a bit of time after DeLorean. So DeLorean went down 83, and he didn't get evicted from his 434-acre estate until 17 years later. So he held out well.
Maybe he just couldn't find him. Just kept on moving on around his estate. He died of a stroke. Complications from a stroke, I'd say, at 80 years of age in March 2005.
Really die young then? Really?
No, he had a good innings. The opening paragraph of his obituary in The Guardian is rather lovely and contains these loving words.
Almost everyone who had business dealings with carmaker John DeLorean suffered either money losses in the millions, public vilification for the vanished cash, or both. Through all this turbulence, DeLorean remained unscathed, even if he did lose a fortune that he had not been entitled to have in the first place.
That's a bit harsh.
And that's a Guardian. They're never pleased for anything, are
Snooty
they?
Bastards.
They don't like success.
John DeLorean, he has got...
Not that he had it, but...
he's got people like him. People have very fond memories of that car, even though it was shit.
Yeah, he's cheeky.
He's a cheeky drug-dealing con man. Nothing wrong with that. Do you want a watch, mate? The monorail is my favourite.
Fuck it, build a monorail.
I'd love to see it. It'd be stainless steel, wouldn't it?
Absolutely. Yeah. It would be stainless steel and would go once every 6 months, I should have thought.
Wow.
Yeah. So that was John DeLorean's bash at making cars. Mm. What went back in time in that? Was it God's fault, our fault?
It was probably John DeLorean's fault. I mean, hard to tell. It could have been the shoddy builders.
Yeah.
Could have been a very averagely designed car.
Yeah.
Or it could have just been John DeLorean and his very dodgy business dealings. Or it could have been our fault for not buying it.
Well, this is a crap car unless Back to the Future happens. If you went back in time and stopped Back to the Future from happening, no one would remember this car. It would just have disappeared into the ether, isn't
yeah.
it? So again, it's not. It's one of those disasters where actually, just like Crinkly Bottom, really, just a business that didn't work out.
Yeah.
And so, you know, when a business doesn't work out, you do what anybody does, isn't it? Sell a bit of Coke. Yes. So that was the DeLorean Motor Company. Phil, do you enjoy it?
I did. I don't understand the business dealings, but I'd love a DeLorean car.
I would love one.
Yeah, it'd be really good.
Phil, if people want to talk to us about the DeLorean and their memories of Back to the Future, how can they contact specifically you so you can chat about your memories of the Back to the Future?
If you'd like to talk about John DeLorean, we are at CB Wallop on Twitter. We're also on Facebook. We don't really like Facebook. I chuck stuff on it, but, yeah. You know, ultimately, we like Twitter.
We also got a lovely plug for the last episode, didn't we, from Angela Barnes.
Yes, lovely Angela.
Who plugged our show. In many ways, she's plugged our show, so thank you so much, Angela, for doing that. But she mainly plugged it on another podcast, which we're going to plug right back.
Yes!
Which was the Tumpty Tum podcast. I hope I've said that right. It's Dumpty Dum, isn't it? Podcast. I'll put it in the show notes, but it is a podcast that's all about the Archers.
Yes.
Do you listen to the Archers?
I do sometimes. Julie is an avid listener of it.
Really?
Yes, and she loves the podcast.
So if you're into the Archers, then check out the Dumpty Dum podcast, and I'll pop the link in the show notes.
Angela's also a fabulous comedian, so if you ever see she's around your area
and
she's playing, go and see her live, because she's superb.
Also, I want to mention another fabulous comedian, Mr. Ben Vandervelde.
Oh, Ben. Lovely Ben.
Who has his own podcast, which we've discovered is a kind of a sister podcast to us. Because although we are just disasters, we're just classic disasters, mate.
We know what we like.
Stay there. Classic disaster. Ben does a podcast which is equally fantastic called Worst Foot Forward. Which is not just disasters, but it's about sort of spectacular failure and hubris and the worst examples of anything in any particular field. So I guess what the worst pair of shoes ever designed, the worst instance of somebody putting on a pair of trousers.
Yeah, it's a good premise, and one when you hear it makes you feel jealous you didn't do it yourself.
Absolutely. Plus, they have guests.
Yes.
They have specialist guests on.
Yeah.
So that's a great podcast. So listen to that. I will also pop that into the show notes. That is Worst Foot Forward.
Ben is also another comedian worth seeing live if you do get a chance, if he's around. Lovely guy, lovely comedian,
yeah.
Very good host, very good man.
All round
good guy, Ben.
So there you go, Ben. He's a good man. He might have some horribly dark things in his past, but
yeah, I unfortunately don't know him well enough to
so.
To pick up on any of Ben's grime.
So, on that slanderous note...
No, he's lovely. I like Ben.
It's time to end. Please, yes, follow us on Facebook.
No, I like Ben.
Yes, I know.
I want to make that clear.
I
like all the people who like our podcast.
That's good, yes. Well, whatever they've done in their past.
I genuinely do. Yeah, yes. Whatever. Dirty Ben has done.
Dirty Ben Vandervelde has done in his dark past, you should still listen to his podcast, because it's very good. Thank you so much for listening. Phil, you got anything to add?
No.
Lovely. We will see you next time. Thank you very much for listening. Goodbye.
Thank you.